had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
How much can she take? How much can she give? How much is too much, and how much longer can she live? As we turn our backs and turn our eyes and pretend we don't see, if ignorance is bliss, then full of bliss are we.
Good morning, and boy, do we have a wake-up call of a show for you today on this edition of Eco Talk. The indomitable Dr. Helen Caldicott is joining me in studio to talk about all things nuclear, as W pronounces it, and environmental issues. And, of course, there's a connection there. If we annihilate ourselves with nuclear weapons, well, it's not going to do much for our environment, is it? Helen is the author of 5 books, including one I'm reading right now. It's her autobiography. It's called A Dangerous Passion. Our first guest, though, on a related topic is Frank O'Donnell. He is the president of Clean Air Watch. He just wrote a piece for TomPaine.com that I recommend you read. It's about General Electric's new Eco Imagination initiative, and it's Eco Imagination, I guess they call it. And Frank calls it the Extreme Makeover Corporate Edition, and we're going to get his comments on that new program. Thanks for joining us, Frank.
Sure. Thanks very much for having me on, Betsy.
So, what prompted you to write this? I mean, there was a very glitzy debut. A couple of weeks ago, and they're very proud of their new initiative. I've seen their commercial on television several times. It would seem to be a good step, and in fact, perhaps a tipping point in terms of corporate America, and it doesn't get more, you know, large and corporate than GE. Maybe starting to turn the corner and to see that, you know, we can't beat them, let's join them, and start saying we're in favor of reducing climate change and, gosh, even make a profit on it.
Well, no big company like a General Electric is going to consciously take decisions that it thinks are not in its interest. And in this case, General Electric does believe it has the potential to make more money than it does today by selling various products associated with energy. And they have a whole range of products, as everyone probably knows, running from trains to windmill turbines to natural gas type engines to nuclear power plants. And so they have come out and said, in effect, we would like to see limits on carbon emissions that we're not seeing. Now, that's a positive thing in a sense, but the concern that a lot of people are raising is that, one, they didn't disclose that while they were taking out these glitzy ads, they were simultaneously lobbying Congress secretly to try to delay their obligations to clean up the Hudson River, which they poisoned with PCBs. And secondly, one thing they didn't mention at all in their campaign is that they are simultaneously lobbying for tax incentives for nuclear reactors in this country. And that raises a whole new question. They were meeting with Senator John McCain while they were getting ready to roll out these things, and suddenly Senator McCain comes out and says, well, I think we ought to be using nuclear power as part of the answer to global warming. That has caught a lot of environmentalists by surprise, and in fact, a lot of folks are stunned because they were looking on Senator McCain as the big champion in the battle against global warming, and now we have a whole new element interjected into the debate about global warming. Should nuclear power be part of the answer?
Mm-hmm. And we're certainly going to talk to Helen Caldicott in our next few segments about this, but what's your take on it, on where nuclear could or should fit into this equation in reducing climate change?
Well, Clean Air Watch is not scoped out any kind of official position on it, I'll be honest with you. And in fact, I don't think anybody even anticipated this would be a major part of the debate. But I can give you a couple of basic thoughts. I mean, technically, nuclear power does not generate carbon emissions. However, there are a huge range of questions unrelated to that, related to nuclear power, that obviously Dr. Caldicott can tell you about and will tell you about. I think you're going to find that most environmentalists are appalled at the idea that would be put forward as the answer. However, there are some folks in big organizations, the World Resources Institute, which receives some funding from General Electric, has come out and said it ought to be looked at as part of global warming. Environmental Defense, which is a very large membership organization, has come out and said, well, maybe we shouldn't rule it out. I mean, even Tony Blair, who's prominent as one of the world leaders in trying to push forward and do something on global warming, said the other day maybe we ought not to rule it out either. So I think it's becoming part of the debate. I think you're going to find most environmentalists don't like it. I think they hope that they can change Senator McCain's mind. But Senator McCain is his own man, as I suspect he's going to proceed as he wants to.
And if nothing else, it gives us lots of food for thought, John McCain. So what about, Jack Immelt, GEO CEO, came out with this initiative and said that they want to, by the year 2010, double by that year its annual $700 million spending on research and development of eco-friendly products, and would double its revenue from those products, they predict, by 2015. Now, if they're really going to, you know, sign on to environmentally friendly alternatives, it seems that they're really opening up Pandora's box in terms of their interest in nuclear power.
Well, I think that's correct. I mean, when they start talking about their anticipation of making more sales on products, you have to understand that they are a global company. And even though the United States has, in fact, buried its head in the sand, like your ostrich tape, when it comes to global warming, much of the rest of the world, Europe, has not. And so they are going to have to make products that can be sold in Europe and other parts of the world that are looking to reduce carbon emissions. So I think from that standpoint, General Electric is simply stating the fact. We're going to be selling to the world. A lot of the world is taking steps. The United States is not. When it comes to the nuclear issue, though, obviously that's a big part of their portfolio and what they're looking to try to expand, not only in this country but elsewhere in the world.
And nuclear power plants obviously have a not-so-eco-friendly byproduct, and that's the plutonium waste. And has anyone figured out what to do with that? Last time I checked, no. Just
no,
wonder how they're going to deal with that.
We talked about unresolved questions, but the questions regarding nuclear power are not small ones. Obviously, they're huge ones. And they are extremely, extremely controversial ones.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of response have you gotten to your article?
Well, it's funny that some folks have come and said, well, gee, shouldn't we give General Electric credit for doing this? And and others have said, well, wait a minute, the guy was simply stating that they're trying to pull a scam on the public. So I think it's kind of a mixed reaction. I think that the timing of their rollout probably was not smart in the sense that they were exposed as lobbying secretly in Congress to try to attach an amendment to a budget bill, essentially a secret amendment that would try to keep them from having to clean up the Hudson River. And it's not a minor matter. It's about $500 million cleanup program. As you probably know, they poisoned the Hudson River throughout the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. For years, the government has been trying to get them to do something about it, and for years they've been resisting. And they're going, well, we've got a new leaf going on now. We're a clean company, but their actions belie their words on this, and that's unfortunate, I think.
So tipping point or greenwashing is in the eye of the beholder right now.
Well,
and we'll see.
I think that
people
would be more impressed if they weren't saying one thing and doing another.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're getting this feedback, and if what I love is that it creates some corporate cognitive dissonance for them.
You know? Yes, absolutely.
And it'll be interesting to see how they work through this issue. And prior to now, a lot of the corporations have been reluctant, or even some of the just businesses out there, to tout, you know, anything environmental because they're afraid they will be held up to scrutiny by environmentalists, by the scientific community, perhaps. And they're kind of stepping right into the pond here, aren't they?
Well, they are, and they're not the first big company now to start doing it. We're starting to see more power companies, for example, say that something ought to be done on climate. We've seen Duke Power recently say there should be a tax on carbon. We've seen Exelon, big power company based in Illinois, say we need to take action on carbon. We've seen Entergy in Louisiana do the same. All of these companies do have nuclear power plants, though, and all of them probably have something to gain by carbon limits. So I think, once again, corporations are not going to consciously take actions that are negative for them. I think what we can hope for is that that these statements will help build a tipping point that will start moving us in a positive direction. How and when that's going to play out, I can't tell you, and I don't think anybody else can right now.
Do you have any background on Jack Immelt's role in this? You know, John McCain really had a wake-up call about global warming being real, and he started being, you know, quite vocal about that, which, talk about dissonance. You know, here he was campaigning with President Bush, and he's, you know, a believer in climate change, and then that humans are a big cause of it. I wonder if someone got to Jack Immelt and he really believes this stuff, or if it really is just a corporate decision.
Well, Immelt was a campaign contributor to President Bush, too, so there's a dissonance there as well. And also, one of his former top lobbyists is actually the federal government's top apologist on environmental matters. That would be James Conatton, who's the head of the Council on Environmental Quality,
mm-hmm.
a GE lobbyist prior to taking that job. My guess is that it's been a gradual process. The World Resources Institute has said that it helped craft the program, so I suspect that it has been a long-term effort that telling Immelt, you really can make money off of this. In fact, you are making money off of it. You probably ought to start emphasizing.
And we got to go. Thanks, Frank O'Donnell, president of the Clean Air Watch. You're listening to Eco Talk on Air America Radio. We'll be right back with Helen Caldicott.